Today's Mishnah in Masechet Shviit is Perek Vav Mishnah Gimel. Bitzalim sheyardu aleihem gishamim v'tzimchu. So suppose, now there's a big machlokas about what we're talking about over here. When it says these bitzalim, is it referring to bitzalim that are still in the ground during Shemitah? Is it referring to bitzalim that had been picked in the sixth year and had been left on the ground? Or these are different perushim, the latter one. The first one is the way the Rambam understands it. The second one is the way most of the Rishonim understand it. And then there's a third approach, which, I don't know, I find it very complex and so on, is the way the Rav understands it, is that basically it was picked during the shishis, so it should be that they're normal vegetables of the shishis. The thing is that they were planted once again during Shemitah, and then there's like this whole discussion, were they taken out of the ground in Shemitah, then put back in the ground, where the Ritva wants to learn? Okay, I don't know, but there are these three different approaches. But all of them are dependent on an understanding of when the new growth would overwhelm the old growth, or how to determine whether the new growth is the growth of Shviyas. Okay, so obviously that would depend on what pshat you're going to be saying. What is our question? But whatever the question is, the Mishnah is providing us a fascinating way to tell what is actual growth from the ground, whether that means the new growth from the ground that's mevatel, the old growth from Shviyas, or whether it's talking about new growth from the ground during Shviyas, which is mevatel, the din of the Shishis. But what defines new growth? Im hayu ha'alim shelahem shechorim. If they had a very dark, shachar doesn't mean literally black, obviously, which is rotted. If it was dark green, so then that means that this is actually growing directly with the full amount of nutrients that are needed, which means that it's growing from the ground. It's not just that what often happens that onions just keep putting out pieces that are coming from the onion itself, even when they're sitting in your drawer. But that growth that comes out like that is yellowish. It's light green. But to see the actual deep green of a new plant, that means that it is growing from the ground. That's the difference. So if the leaves are dark, then it's going to be usher, because it means that they grew during Shemitah. And now the shaila is the leaves or the entire onion. So again, the pashtus is that we're dealing with the question of whether the new growth is mevatel the old growth. So most understand this to mean the entire onion is considered to be usher. Usher meaning usher if there's a svichin issue, as the Rambam always learns, or usher meaning it has to be treated with kedusha shviyas, as others learn. But then it's shmita. Ah, the other hand, if we're talking about yellowish leaves, horiku, so then it means that it's just the expansion of the onion. So then they're mutter, there's no din of svichin, and there's no din of kedusha shviyas. Rav Chanina ben Antignus Omer, that's not the siman. The siman is on the depth of the connection of the alim to the onion. Im yecholim lehi talesh ba'alim shelahem asurim. If it's possible to pull the onion out of the ground with this new growth, then that means that they are strongly connected to the onion and they are just really fresh leaves that are growing and then they're usher. That would be even if they're not deep green. They would still be usher. Okay, so papashas we're talking about, they were picked in the Shana Shishis, left on the ground, left in the ground, replanted in the ground according to whatever pshat you want to say. What about if the opposite happens? They grew during Shemitah, and then they were left on the ground, replanted in the ground, and so on in the eighth year. So, keneged kein motzai shvit mutarim. The same thing is reversed in determining what the halacha is when you picked it afterwards, after Shemitah. So, if they have these new dark green leaves, or these very powerful leaves that can rip out the plant from the ground, so then you can be sure that they are mutter, because they're butel in the new growth, which is a tremendous kula. To say that we're going to be mevatel, the Shemitah growth in the new growth, because of that, many Rishonim argue on that particular approach, that it's referring back to the being mevatel the entire onion itself. Mishnah Dalet in Perek Vav. Mi'em atay mutar adam likach yerek b'motzei shvi'id. When are you allowed not to have to worry? When you're going to a store in the eighth year after Shemitah, when can you assume that what you buy does not have a din of Shemitah? Once mishe'yaseh kayotzebo, once the same type of fruit is available from the crop of the eighth year, you can then already buy it and rely on that and assume that it's okay. Not only that, but there's an additional kula, that asa habakir hutar ha'afil. There's places, obviously, where things grow more quickly, depending on the climate and so on. If the early fields have already produced something that is ripe, and other fields have not, you do not have to ascertain that the produce comes from a field that is a bakir. You can actually buy it because we can assume that a market is open enough that the vegetable dealers are going to want to get whatever fresh produce they can get. And therefore, you can assume that it came from an early ripening field. And then there's a bigger kula, which is Rebbe. Rebbe was mater likach yerek b'motzei shvi'it miyad. He was actually matir buying immediately after Shemitah. This is a crazy story in the Yerushalmi about this. that they planted after Rosh Hashanah, they planted these radishes. Turnips, I think it was. It was lefet. So they bring before Yom Kippur, they bring Rebbe these two turnips, and they were so big that they only could fit two turnips on a camel. So they bring him a camel load of turnips, which is two turnips. So Rebbe says, this stuff is usser, because it, no, they said, we just planted it after Rosh Hashanah. So then Rebbe said, well, if that's the case, you can buy food immediately after Shemitah, if it ripens that quickly. Okay, so again, that would mean that it doesn't mean literally immediately after, because obviously it requires some time for it to grow. So there's some discussion, what does this mean, halacha l'maaseh? Now, another issue is something that is very nogea bizman hazeh. There's a tremendous amount of discussion, halacha l'maaseh. What are the implications of this Mishnah? Because the Mishnah b'pashtus would currently destroy a lot of the agriculture, a lot of the markets for agriculture in Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah is like this. Ein motzi'in shemen sreifa u'peirot shvi'it mi'aretz l'chutz l'aretz. Well, you're not allowed to take shemen sreifa. So let's say Barnea's in Chicago. It's cold in Chicago. So Barnea wants some shemen sreifa. Energy costs are going up in Chicago. Can you send him shemen sreifa? And that way he would be burning in his furnace. He would be burning the olive oil. It's true, of course, it's Tamei, because it's an Eretz Amim and so on. But he would at least be saving money on his heating bill. No, you're not allowed, if it's Shemitah, you're not allowed to send out, anytime, you're not allowed to send out Shemet Sreifa. And if it's Shemitah, you're not allowed to send any kind of parents from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. Now, the question is, what is the interrelationship of those two things? The reason that you don't take Shemet Sreifa out is because the same way that we know that when you're burning kachim that are psulim, they need to be burned b'makom kodesh. So it depends what it is, sometimes in the actual chatzar, sometimes in the Beis Hadesh, and so on. So the Rabbanan gave a din for Truma Tameya, that since the same makom where it's eaten is the makom that is burned when it comes to kachim, so too, the same way that you eat the Truma in Eretz Yisrael, so too, you have to burn it in Eretz Yisrael, so you can't even send out Shemen Sreifa. How does that relate to the question of Peros Shvi'is? So many understand it relates to the question of Peros Shvi'is because the din of Biur of the Peres needs to be in the same place where it was meant to be eaten. So if you're going to be Mavayer the Peres, if it means, we mentioned this big Machlokes Rishonim, whether Biur only means Efker or whether Biur means actual burning or whether there are two stages, that at the first stage it's Efker and then when it's completely out of anywhere that you cannot, the Chaya would not be able to get this type of thing, that then you do have to burn it. Okay, but whatever the point was, the Biur is similar to the Sreifa. The same way in Motzin Shem and Sreifa, you can't bring out Perishvias. Omer Rabbi Shimon, Shamati, I heard, Ferish, that Motzin Lesuria, you definitely can take this out to Syria, but you cannot export food to Chutz La'aretz. Some learn that means even from Syria. And we'll see the next mission, we have the same question. Now, understandably, this creates a tremendous problem because we do send out Peres Shvias to Chutz La'aretz. It's a tremendous, and if we didn't, we would lose our markets here in Eretz Israel. A tremendous hefset. And so this was one of the issues that were big, big questions with Rav Kook, and nowadays as well, especially lately, that the wine market has developed over the past decade to the point where Israeli wines are considered to be tremendous delicacies. Who would have believed that so quickly, Baruch Hashem, things got back to the way they're meant to be? The French can sit there panting, you know. And so this involves a lot of questions, because there's a whole Gemara in Pesachim, where over there, Rav Papa had brought out Peres Shvias to Chutz La'aretz. And he asked, what is he supposed to do for the Biur? Does he have to bring them back there? It's Israel. Can it be Mavir in its place? So Tosus asks over there, how did he take out Peres Shvias to Chutz La'aretz? And he says one of the most astonishing things, one of his tirutzim, is that for Schora, it's Mutter. Dafka, the thing which you're not allowed to do even in Eretz Yisrael, is the Schora, that's Dafka Mutter in Chutz La'aretz. So you can imagine what kind of issues that raises, the Tosfos. So maybe what would be very sweet to do is to take off some time one day when we have a little bit of time to go over some of the incredibly complex inyanim, just to get an idea, to get a taste, so to speak, of Shvias, of what goes into the questions of halacha l'maisa on something like this that is nogea mamish international trade. So just to have some fun with the understanding of the different regime of the issue of Tosfos, its relationship to Biur, sending out after Biur, sending out Otzer Bezdin as opposed to sending out something that would have get any number of incredible issues. So Bezrat Hashem, we'll do that one day. But meanwhile, we have to say goodbye, I'm afraid. And it's been so sweet. So, Ilan, what can I say? Kol tov, have a wonderful day, everybody. Take care.